It's here and now.
So every glacier is a huge amount of moving ice with always going forwards into the valley.
That was Linda, our guide on a trek up the Sólheimajökull Glacier in Iceland. We'd driven miles through land rimmed by snow-covered mountains and fields strewn with volcanic rock, steam here and there rising from Iceland's geothermal underbelly, to report on the climate crisis, because Iceland is on the front lines. In the Atlantic, the UK on one side, Greenland on the other, the North Pole above, a popular stopover for tourists, many of whom come to see the glaciers, an irony because all 300 of them are melting, one, the Auk, actually disappeared, and with our travel emissions, we're adding to the problem. We stand by a gray lake on a black beach of broken volcanic rock in freezing, pelting sleet. In the distance, the only color, the glimmering green-white ice of the glacier. Linda explains it used to reach where we stood.
How much has it receded?
A lot. So in the last 50 years, it retreated more than 1,700 meters.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, a lot.
That's about 8 football fields. We've got crampons, ice picks, harnesses. As we hike over to, then up the ice, what seemed like a good idea is now terrifying. Ice, wet from pelting sleet. What could go wrong? Crevasses.
And the most important thing to know about crevasses is that they can form in a few hours.
Trying not to fall in, we are up and humbled. As they say, when an ice piece breaks off, you're breathing the same air the Vikings did. And like Iceland, glaciers are otherworldly. No wonder Tolkien based his Middle Earth and Lord of the Rings on this land. But they are also fragile. When we leave, Linda tells us to look back.
My advice is to take a mental picture of Sólheimajökull. Because maybe next time, if you will be back, it will be disappeared or completely different from now. So watch it and keep in mind how it is now, because everything changes every day.
Our glaciers are melting away, but most of them are retreating.
That's one of Iceland's progressive new young leaders in his modern government office in the capital Reykjavik. All this week, we're going to look at the impact of climate change on Iceland's natural resources. A harbor closed because of rising land, others impacted by rising seas. Let's start there.
Yeah, my name is Guðmundur Ingi Guðbrandsson, and I'm the Minister for the Environment and Natural Resources in Iceland. Just call me Mimi.
Minister Mimi?
Yeah, that sounds really good.
Okay, that's what I'll do. Well, a receding or melting glacier adds to sea rise, but what does it do for the country when you don't have the glaciers there?
Well, there are several issues. One is the change in the runoff from the glaciers. Some of the glacial rivers that we have, we use as a means of producing electricity. Or most of them, they flow freely to the ocean. And the impact on the ecosystems of the oceans are not known enough.
What is in those glaciers that's going in the ocean, and how will that impact your oceans? Do I understand as well that in one town, it's twisting the water pipes or the infrastructure underneath a town?
The land is rising because the glaciers are melting, because then you have less mass on the land, so it simply lifts up.
So the land is rising where the glaciers are melting because the glaciers are so profoundly heavy, they were holding the land down.
Yeah, and within some of the glaciers there are volcanoes, and as the weight of the ice becomes less, the probability of an eruption increases. It sounds like a lie, you know, it's like, what, you know? Personally, some people are simply brought up next to a glacier that they have in their perhaps 50 to 60 years lifespan, seen retreating. I was raised up on a farm where my grandma taught me the names of the mountains, and there were 4 glaciers that we saw on the horizon, and one of them was Auk. Now we see 3 glaciers, and probably if things continue, a second one will have disappeared. So it's also very iconic and symbolic for many Icelanders, the way they mentally affect us. And I'm not sure if we fully understand those social and emotional changes that are related to that.
What else do you do as the Minister of the Environment to offset climate change?
We have already been quite successful when it comes to heating. Almost 100% of heating in Iceland is from renewable resources, geothermal and hydro. Then we also need to look at fisheries and agriculture and tourism. In 2000, we had about 300,000 people visiting us, a similar number to the number of the whole population in Iceland. In 2010, it was 500,000, and now it's about 2 million people coming here. So we haven't perhaps been able to fully manage tourism in Iceland.
But they're trying. This is the magnificent Stroker Geyser. It's packed with tourists sent here by online travel sites. Iceland's officials are trying to spread the tourism around. Still, we find travelers like Wendy Tim of Rochester, Minnesota, who want to help.
It's a tough situation, but I think, you know, tourism can help in a way.
Somebody suggested that every tourist should pay for a tree to be planted.
Yes, exactly.
That's you do that? Idea.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. How about carbon tax on your flight?
Fine. Yeah. No problem. Yeah.
At the Sleek Visitor Center, we meet the Robinson family from Plano, Texas, traveling with their adult son.
That's why we're here. We wanted them to see the glaciers, and we wanted them to see the icebergs and the geysers, because who knows if his kids will.
That's kind of sad. As I wander over to son, do you think about that?
Yeah, especially within my generation, being green and lessening our carbon footprint's a very big thing to us. I mean, it'd be beautiful for us to be able to maintain it for the generations beyond me.
We are in the early stages of having tourism as a major industry.
Hi. Meet Skarphedin Steinarsson, Director General of the Iceland Tourist Board. He tells us there are many reasons for Iceland's popularity. Iceland Air has long promoted the country as a stopover, but for a while recently would even assign you an employee as a weekend guide, competing with WOW Airlines, which expanded too fast and went under. And when a spectacular volcano blew in 2010, the world's attention was on Iceland and people liked what they saw. But also after the bank collapse in 2008, Iceland was cheap. Not anymore, by the way. Well, now Icelanders are trying to manage the crowd. Signs everywhere ask tourists to be safe. Don't climb fences to take selfies. People have died. Don't step on hot springs. The nearest hospital is an hour away.
Also, many of these sites are sensitive and are not prepared to get all the visits that this is bringing. Also, we need to find out how to handle visitors from countries that we've not been having previously.
Like who?
Asians, also North America.
Do you mean not prepared clothing-wise for going out to a glacier or standing out in frigid weather to see the northern lights?
Yes, there are a lot of people that haven't experienced darkness, driving conditions, snow, rain, wind.
Driving out of town northeast, just stunning. No shoulders, nowhere to go.
Yes.
There's no AAA if your car gets in trouble. There may be nobody as far as the eye can see for miles all around you.
Yeah. Even there are visitors here that have never experienced being totally alone. Also, nature is very sensitive in springtime. It becomes muddy and it is damaged. You know, we have unspoiled nature here, which is what our visitors want to experience. But we have to make sure that it's not damaged.
You're also conscious of trying to protect the visitors too. Some of these sites are otherworldly, but they're dangerous.
They are, and it's really heartbreaking. It's not only heights, but when people are walking on beaches and they don't understand how dangerous the ocean can be. When the waves come and just take people away. Yep.
This is also part of the appeal of Iceland. It hasn't been tamed. What impact has climate change had on tourism?
This is probably the biggest challenge for tourism. We are an island. People come here with airplanes. What we need is to find out some way that we can handle this, because traveling and visiting other people and enjoying to meet other peoples and get to know other cultures and other countries is the best way to keep a peaceful world.
Would you ever put a limit on how many tourists can come?
This is one of the questions that will need to be answered one day. Hopefully not.
We've met people who have come to Iceland specifically because they fear some of the awesome nature is disappearing. That's very sad.
It is very sad. And we have to turn that around. It's strange to be a destination where people come to experience this.
Experience you before you're gone.
Yes.
Which brings us back to Iceland's melting glaciers.
The most famous lullaby in Iceland is Sofðu unga ástin mín út í regni grætur.
That's cultural icon Andre Magnusson. You'll hear from him again. But today, his thoughts on that lullaby.
It's very gloomy and it has glaciers in it. It's so sleep, my little love. The rain is crying outside. And in the glaciers, the death deep crevices are howling. Suddenly something so forceful, instead of looking at it in awe as a godly, dangerous being, into being something that is dying. And actually a dying glacier is a rather sad sight. It's like a stranded whale. And it's almost like telling you something. Something went wrong.
This week, we're covering the climate crisis in Iceland for incredible pictures. Go to hereandnow.org.